I am so happy to have Cyber Chump back again. You guys are the greatest. I love your new CD.
Thank you.
Well, we like to hear that.
This for those of you who don't know Cyber Chump, this is Jim and Mark. Jim from hails from
Kansas City.
Kansas City. And Mark hails from Milwaukee.
That's right.
So I noticed on your new CD that you have Cyber Lab, is it?
Chump Lab,
Milwaukee, Chump Lab, Kansas City.
We used to call it Chump Labs Alpha and Omega.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just, I guess, decided that, you know, Milwaukee kind of gets some credit. I mean, you guys support us an awful lot here. Mm-hmm. And Jim started realizing he needed to get in on that action in Kansas City.
Well, actually, we started getting some radio play down there, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a station down there that's playing us quite a bit, so.
Great. What kind of station is it?
It's public broadcasting.
KCUR.
Great.
It's their the college station,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Public radio.
Very
good. That's where we belong.
Exactly.
Left of the dial.
Yeah, but you know what? You will soon expound from left of the dial, I think.
Well, we hope so.
I don't know.
I think you will. So anyways, thank you very much for coming down. We're going to talk about the new CD, which is really fabulous. When did you first start working on this?
Well, actually, that's we kind of work in pairs. The last CD... we started recording with a kind of a new tool, and some of the stuff actually harks back to there, but it wasn't mm-hmm. stuff that seemed to fit together with it. And we kind of let it sit and gel, and then we went back, and then we built on that. So actually, I'd say 2 years ago we started on it.
Right. Jim had originally, when he started working with the software loop programs and things like that, mm-hmm. before that we were doing – Jim's always worked with loops, and I think we'll talk about that as we talk about our recording process mm-hmm. later. But, you know, we started looking at he just like sent me 12 songs, mm-hmm. you know, to kind of introduce me to what he'd been up to, and I think kind of kickstart me into like send, you know, it's like a friendly competition. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So I immediately started working on songs myself to send him. And,
no, I can't stop him.
That's right. We really work hard to make a collection that when you listen to the whole experience, you know, mm-hmm. it won't just be a bunch of discrete songs, but that it really is, you know, somehow cohesive.
Excellent. So this sort of has its beginnings about 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And but in the meantime, you had put out Scientists in the Trees.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So, and now also, you know, part of, it's in the liner notes, but if you just listen to the CD before you read the liner notes, you do notice that you use some sounds from previous recordings.
Oh, yeah.
Did you notice that?
Yeah, I did, actually.
Very good.
I'm sort of familiar with your music. So.
Yeah, we're doing what Brian Eno used to call composting.
Exactly.
And actually, that came about because Mark came up with this project working with a guy named Neil Ropes here in town. And
he goes under the name Metronome.
Metronome.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark wanted to see if we could do a dance mix of the first two CDs. So Neil and his then musical partner started sampling all our stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, he gave us the samples at the same time. So we ended up using it at this project, and Neil's been doing a remix for us. We haven't got that done yet. So.
Uh-huh.
Right. We did bring that with us. But, yeah, okay. There's some raw kind of stuff that we haven't really completed but mm-hmm. that we're working on. But, yeah, that's what happened was that Neil sort of chopped up and harvested all of these samples from our first couple albums. And
uh-huh.
And I think while he was working on it, we both sort of got jealous and looked at it and said, well, hey, give those are ours, you know, give them back. Let us, he had done all the hard work, you know,
right.
to chop them up. So, you know, we finally decided, hey, this sounds really cool and it's ours. So why don't we just, you know, steal from ourselves?
Sure. Exactly.
Yeah.
So you, you know, how did you decide to choose the patches that you did use?
Was it just went
with the songs?
Yeah. Well, you know, the way our process works is one of us starts out with the basic song, basically. You know,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of times maybe just a collection of, hey, do you like all these sounds together in rhythms?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then we start, you know, deconstructing it and reconstructing it in some method. And some, you know, it's not a planned process, so it could mm-hmm. go any way. And a lot of times I'd be going like, oh, what kind of sound do I want? And I'd go back to that stuff and pick some up. And actually, a lot of those, we didn't just take the samples that Neil gave us. Then we modified those to fit our needs and
sure.
then used them.
Sure.
So it's just the process you went through, just kind of.
Because a lot of these songs, they you can hear them build on itself.
Right.
You can just hear it develop, and it's, you know, there's so many layers and textures to the music.
And yet, I think we've, you know, in the past, we've been very thick, you know. It's been a very thick sort of,
yeah.
You know,
very layer. Be closer to it.
Yeah. and this time we were like, you know, there was this consciousness of maybe we could be have a little more air, a little more breathing room, and not make it so, you know, I don't know, heavy to listen to, you know, that there'd be some room in there in the mix, you
right.
know. So we tried to hold back and have some discipline about it, because I think we tend to be obsessive, and so you just keep going and adding more and more and more,
yeah.
and then finally it makes sense to us. But you know, I mean, we've had some people who've reviewed our stuff, and we tend to get really good reviews. But you know, even people who really like us have said things like, you know, the really bizarre rhythms, and the way they describe us, it makes it sound like it was all just too much to take.
Yeah. Well, that's you're talking about the earlier stuff, right? Well,
yeah, perhaps. Okay. And I think the earlier stuff probably we were a little more obvious with some choices.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. But they can't say that about this.
You think it's more subtle?
No. Well, it's not. What were you saying about the rhythms that were
bizarre?
Bizarre rhythms. No, this is totally cohesive.
Well, one thing, if you compare the big difference between Scientists and Secrets, really is the rhythm. And the rhythm has been pared down to almost nothing sometimes, and yet it still moves you. And I think that's the key to this. This CD is even when there's no beats, there's rhythm, and it might be subtle, it might be hidden, but you'll find it.
Yeah,
and it's just natural to feel it.
Because we're working with loops quite a bit, that happens, and I think that's something that we did the most with Abstract Air. Our third disc was, you know, there were no beats on that whole album, but it's very rhythmic. It's,
yes.
You know, and a lot of ambient music isn't rhythmic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's something I think that's just sort of inherent in how we work and what we're interested in.
Yeah.
You know, we tend to listen, you know, if you're listening to music, you know, we tend to do this thing, you know, sort of like it's late at night, you're sitting on the couch, you know, maybe you've had a couple beers or something, and you're listening to music, and you're just kind of nodding with the music and the groove, and that's when you sort of know, you know, and you can lift off the couch hopefully and transcend a bit, and that's when you know this is good music.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we need to take a listen to the first track. And the other thing about the CD is I really like the way the CD itself develops. Your thought in the track programming is very, very good.
This was Jim's.
You know, I mean, it's really noticeable because some of your other CDs, too, it kind of goes, you know, you know, here to there, you know.
Well, we can tell you the secret key in the other ones, too. That we do give a lot of thought to our track selection and what order they're in. And typically, in the past, would you say, Jim, it's like a two-humped camel.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, yes.
You know?
Yes.
So you're kind of rising up to a peak and then coming down and then rising back up to a peak and coming down. Or maybe leaving it at the end on a peak.
Yeah.
Well, for
5
CDs, I've been trying to get him to agree to do something like this, and I just had this epiphany before I came up last November of the songs, and they all fell into place. So I put it together that way. I came up and I says, I want you to listen to this and tell me if you don't think this is the proper sequence. And bingo.
Yeah.
You saw it right away. You know, that's what we needed to do.
Right. And I totally, that was one of the first things that I noticed listening to the CD all the way through. It was like, I love the build. It builds and then it brings it back down again, and I just, it was really, it makes it a really, you just want to start it right up again, you know.
Well, I hope.
Perfect.
Yeah,
and I
hope people feel the way I do about it, and that is, it's one of these things where you keep moving on, you never feel that it's a repeat of anything else, and yet you can't wait for some more. I mean, it's just.
Yeah, it's important, I think, to bring the listener on a journey.
Right.
And that's what we try to do. You know, we don't really want to have it just be a collection of songs like, oh, here's the stuff we've been working on this last year. You know, that's why we tend to pick from, you know, maybe a song that we had 2 years ago that now we finished fits this collection a little better.
Yeah.
And then how does it all fit in the general feeling of listening to this? You know, so that it's the old days. It's like Pink Floyd, you know. You're listening to the album all the way through as an experience.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is totally it. So that's why I love it. Anyways, we're going to start out with the first track, and it's called Plateau. This is Cyberchump on WMSE. Music of Cyberchump on WMSC from their brand new CD, Bravo, called Secrets to Tell You. Excellent. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about that now, your method to your madness.
Well, actually, a lot of these songs have ended up being something completely different than what we started out with.
Mm-hmm.
This one, I think it was like in November, finally decided we don't really like what's going on here.
Right.
I went back home and
wasn't really an ambient piece. I don't believe
this was an ambient piece. In fact, I've dug up the old one and remixed it. We're going to put it on our website. It was a dub thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mark got a email from a guy. He wanted some possible songs for a compilation.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have anything ambient, and we were thinking we'd really like to get on it. And so Mark goes, well, let's just take, how about Plateau? We'll just make that an ambient piece. And
we'll strip off the drums. We'll set it
off the
as
bass,
an ambient piece.
And, of course, I went around and I gave Mark something. He goes, what are you doing, man? That's really, I got it really dark in this stuff. And I had this really heavy bass line. Finally, we stripped it down and came up with this. And this has really grown on me, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it a lot. And I like it. It's just a real nice way to start the album.
You know, in a way, I think this album, for me, I think this album is a great album to put on in the morning as you're waking up, because
right.
It starts really subtle and kind of eases you into it.
So you get to track three, and then you get a little, That's when, the snooze should be.
Right.
That's right. If you aren't awake yet, we'll wake you up.
Yeah, that's where you
are. And you'll be dancing by track six.
Yes, exactly. And ready to go out the door.
Right.
So, I really like that track. And I notice on this CD that the tracks are somewhat longer than you normally run.
Yes.
You know, you get 2 7-minute tracks.
Well, one of the things we've always done about length, it's not, we don't go like, well, let's do a 10-minute song. A lot of times we'll have a song that is 10 minutes, we'll go like, that's too long. And so this actually is what we came up with, what we thought was it was interesting for the length of time it was. You know, you want to keep a person's interest, and if it goes any longer than that, you want to cut it back. So there's some things we pared down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, that song, there's no verse chorus, so is the length had more to do with the way it flowed. But there's songs on here where Mark didn't even know it. I thought, man, that's 4 bars too long, and I've just edit out this little piece.
That's always the little thing, is to see that can the other person pick the thing you tweaked, And I know he's doing this to me all the time, where he's like editing something out, and then he's like, what do you think? And he doesn't tell me he edited it out, right?
I won't tell him what I do.
Maybe he's showing me, it's sleight of hand, he's showing me something over here, but he's really doing something over there.
Right.
And so then I listen to it, and I've got no comment. Sounds great. And then he's probably snickering back in Kansas City,
Jim, have you ever gotten away with something where Mark really didn't notice that, I took this out, he didn't even get it?
I'm trying to think. I don't think there's anything that he really liked that I've taken out. There's things that, I've taken it out, and I've told him after the fact, maybe 6 months later, this is a little short. He goes, I thought so. It was a little different, but I couldn't figure out what it was.
Yeah.
It's hard because when you're listening to it all, I'm usually, it depends on how it comes back. If it comes back as an MP3 that I'm listening to, then you know, you're not sitting there at the software watching all the track. Because when that happens, when he mm-hmm. sends back the actual program and I got to do some more work, then it's easier because you can see how things have changed visually mm-hmm. compared to when you looked at it before.
Yeah.
You know, and you could compare the old one to the new one. So there's times I think, well, wait a second. There used to be this whole section over here. Where's this?
You yeah.
know, whereas because it's visual.
Right.
Not for me, I think that works. But being audio, a lot of times, you know, somebody could take out four bars and you might not even know. You just know that you enjoyed the song a little better,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
but you don't know why, because some of the stuff is just sort of emotional. And,
right.
You know?
Now, do you, you know, having two studios so far apart, you communicate via electronics most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Does it ever ruin the flow of a song? Does it ever... You know, we've been messing around too far, you know, too long, too far away, that it kind of disrupts the whole.
No, actually, for us, I think it's a better process. What happens is we'll sit together, like we did yesterday. We worked on a song all day, you know, a brand new song. By the time we were done with it, we're going like, what happened to this thing? You know, we thought we liked it in the beginning. And
uh-huh.
So a lot of times it actually works better. And what will happen, I'll tell you, this happened the last time I was up here. We sat down and we decided we were going to do just two spontaneous jams, which we did. And we both walked away thinking like, eh, that's okay. And we went back and listened to it a month later and we're going like, wow,
mm-hmm.
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So space actually, I think,
yeah.
is a good thing for us. I don't know if it would be for other people, but for us, I think the space actually helps. It
yeah.
enhances the process.
I think it gives you time to contemplate the music a little bit more and think about it and then maybe try something. And or like, you know, we had something we were working on today and we kind of just looked at each other and said, boy, are we uninspired. And, you know, hang it up for the day, you
yeah.
know. And
yeah.
It's just you can't push it.
So,
and in, if we were separate, which is what 98% of the time we are, then we would, you know, you just kind of hang it up yourself and, you know, then
yeah.
you get back to it a week later
yeah.
or so. But we both have a real good work ethic, so we never hang it up completely, you
right,
know.
Right.
We always get, it kind of nags you and makes you, you mm-hmm. got to go back to it.
Well, that's where the other person comes in. That's the nag. It's like, hey, remember that song we did 6 months ago?
Right.
Take another listen. Do something.
And
yeah.
we tend to do that when we get back together occasionally, a couple times a year. We'll set an agenda for what we're going to work on
mm-hmm.
the next few days, and we'll listen to old stuff and say, "All right, should we, you know, cart that back out again and see if it interests us, or no, forget it. You know, that's we still don't like that."
Yeah.
We have stuff that we did years ago that we still kind of pull it back out and. You know, see what we think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it ready now, finally?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nothing's off limits. Abstract Air has a song that goes back to 85, I think.
Right.
It?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you think it actually might actually keep it more fresh because it's not, you're not chronically working on it.
Right. It's the process that we do, and I wouldn't say it worked for anybody else, but for us, it seems to work the best.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably more like in the work in the mixing process where it's really an issue too, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
Jim does an awful lot of that, takes kind of the lion's share of that,
mm-hmm.
and really kind of in the final mastering process of it because he's got the software for the mastering stuff. So as we do that, I think there is a lot of times where, you know, he sent me five versions of this and
mm-hmm.
you just don't even know anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your ears are done and you know, you just have no idea what you're even hearing, and you can't make a differential between anything anymore.
Right.
So, you know, and I think, right, you have to do that too. You have to, Jim,
yeah, this,
back off of it for a while.
I think, I'd say this CD was the hardest to find to ever get comfortable with. This is the final, this, we're done with it.
Mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And actually, we just spent so much time with it. I'm glad to get some feedback finally from people.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, 2 years is a long time to even be working on the you know,
yeah.
the whole uniformness.
Mm, right.
Especially when, you know, I find it, you know, hard to believe that you could put out another CD, sort of. Did you kind of start Scientists in the Trees around the same time? It's just material that you have.
It's just material.
And,
I mean, we...
And you have a cohesive group, and then, well, let's call it this.
Well, we had like, for Scientists, I think we had about 20 songs. And we went through and said, which ones work together? We thought we wanted a CD about 50 minutes long or so.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's a tone. I mean,
there's a tone
yes,
you come up
right.
with. And in fact, Scientists, we had Becky Brinkley, my wife, and Teresa, Mark's wife, we spent... a whole about 2-3 days, the four of us going through and picking the songs we wanted on that one, and then we went and finalized. Mm-hmm. So we actually had some input from them, a lot more than this one. For some reason, Becky and Teresa were not nearly as involved for some reason. They were busy doing their own thing. This one, we were more on our own, it seemed like.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, I like it. I like it. Tell me, we'll
and the tone, like, just to get on the tone thing, I really do think, you know, you kind of put a theme together in a way, and it isn't always
right.
conscious, and that's one of the things that we, you know, I'm probably a little bit more about a, you know, kind of person that wants to consciously try to do things, and Jim really works against that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he'll just say, let's not talk about it, let's just do it. Oh, all right. You know, we run into the studio and start plugging stuff in and do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I tend to be more of the concept person. But, you know, in a way that just doesn't – so it's sort of a nice meld, a yin and a yang of sort of trying to put some structure on something, but yet trying to keep it unstructured enough that it's free and all the doors are open.
Mm-hmm.
And with Secrets, I really think, you know, we looked at what we didn't use that we liked, mm-hmm. you know, but that we didn't use for Scientists. And it's funny how sometimes you listen to this stuff and then you listen to it later in a different context and maybe a certain collection, and all of a sudden, you know, oh, this all fits together. You're like,
mm-hmm.
Among the Islands just didn't fit with Scientists.
Yeah.
You know, and if you look at even the titles of everything on that album, you know, things like Helium Device,
mm-hmm.
Sarin, you know, that
right.
sort of thing. Vulcan's Forge, that's a much darker,
right.
serious attitude. And we're a lot more, I don't know, this CD has a more pleasant
mm-hmm.
kind of feel to it.
Yeah, there's definitely, you know, you can definitely say there's two different plateaus, if you will, on the two, you know, between the two CDs. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, a lot of your CDs are like that. They, you know, they have their own, their feel. You have a Cyberchump sound, sort of, but yet you have each CD has its own sound. So
yeah, we've done the experiment where we take all our CDs and put them together in a like a CD changer and
mm-hmm.
then listen to them on random.
Yeah.
And they all do work together well.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a cohesiveness to it all, but you're right, there's a different tone between all
right.
the works.
Right. Yeah. Great. Well, should we listen to the next track, Lighten?
Yes. Let's lighten up.
Was that what you were thinking?
Yeah.
What were
time
you thinking?
To lighten.
No.
Well, after you hear this just ask yourself, does this sound like lighting being light?
Yeah.
Should I share a little bit about it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Please.
If you can keep it short.
Yeah.
I like the stereo.
Well, forget it.
The stereo panning I like a lot.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
One of the things that had happened was that I had a son that was born last year, and I did a number of these songs. Most of my contributions are, and it might be like half of them or so, are ones that I started within like 2 or 3 weeks of Alexander being born. And
mm-hmm.
I was just in a pretty elated mood. And so I thought I was going to do a painting, and instead I ended up working on music, and I ended up doing stuff that was just a lot lighter. And I sent it all to Jim, and you even wrote a poem or something about it at one point in which you were sharing that I was lightening up and you weren't going there. You weren't going there with me.
Yeah, let's listen to the song, then we can talk about that.
I'm not going there with you, buddy. This is Lighten from Cyberchump on WMSC. Music of Cyberchump on WMSC from their brand new CD called Secrets to Tell You, and a track called Lighten. And you know, one thing about your music that I find is important is headphone listening, because there's so, you know, there's so much depth to all of the songs, the little sounds that you have, and you know, stuff like that. That headphone
we have secrets to tell you.
Yes,
that's
you
right.
do.
You have to
that's
listen
right. you
closely.
You have to listen closely. Exactly. Exactly. So we were talking in the break about this particular song, and Jim made the comment that this is nowhere like it was when it started.
Oh, no. It actually was the foundation of it was a sample. It was a glitch loop that Mark put together. Mark likes these glitchy kind of sounds, mm-hmm. but he also he usually connects them with melody too. And he had this one where the glitch was just so obnoxious. Finally, we wrote the whole song around it.
Pressure Tactic. It was called P-TAC 1.
Yeah. And finally, I just said, Mark, we both agreed it just didn't work, so I just deep-sixed the whole loop and uh-huh. started. And the beginning's totally different now because I had to come up with a way to introduce the song. And I came up with the, some guy called it a lounge piano, and I guess that kind of covers it, you know, basically.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it also, in place of the rhythm, I started the piano out. If you notice, there's a repetitive piano line that disappears, and the whole idea was to have a rhythm through the song that's not obvious. And
mm-hmm,
I think,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion, it works anyway. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And my thought of this song, that it was very cinematic. It seemed that it needed to have visuals with it. I mean, it doesn't need to, but it would work really good with visuals. You could almost make something up in your mind, what, you know.
We originally titled it Lightning, and I actually came up with Lightning and then in parentheses Metamorphosis, because it does change
mm-hmm.
throughout. And we just thought, well, we don't need to say it, but it definitely does have that broad scope.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We also want to mention that Jason Lovall, violin player, excellent violin player
mm-hmm.
for the Danglers, is playing violin on that one. He's on a number of our tracks and yeah. has been since our second album.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, yeah, that one, Jason's part was, he actually loves to do kind of ambient type things, and he put down a nice rhythm bed. Well, actually, it wasn't rhythm. It was just, he likes to use a lot of reverb, and
mm-hmm.
it was just this wash that it's kind of the underpinning of the second half of the song. And it's just, if you heard the song without it, you'd really miss it. But
mm-hmm.
it's really a foundation of that second part of the song.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things that happens a lot. I mean, and we were playing some stuff today where I was doing that, where I had to keep pulling out different effects so that I could hear the part I was trying to play, because I couldn't mm-hmm. differentiate it from the other stuff that was going on in the mix.
Yeah.
And, you know, but because sometimes you're doing things that just have a subtle difference, you know,
mm-hmm.
just, as we call it, a just noticeable difference,
mm-hmm.
you know, just something that's just subtle, and so you... Sometimes it's hard to tell, you know.
Yeah.
It adds to the tone, it adds to the mood, the feeling, but you know, you may not always be able to pick it out exactly, because so much of what we do is layered by numerous layers in order to create this thing that you might think sounds like one instrument, but
mm-hmm.
it really is, you know, a number of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to ask, do you guys have the exact same studio set up? I mean, the whole, you know, the whole way you guys work, as we mentioned before, is in two different cities, and it's
mm-hmm.
electric,
it's,
you know, electronically.
It's very, very similar.
Yeah, I.
But you don't have the exact same gear.
Well,
and
we
setup.
Have the studio monitors are the same.
Mm-hmm.
I
That's
guess
important.
Our,
that is very
know,
important.
Right. So we're using the same speakers.
Mm-hmm.
You know. We have the same software.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, some of the instruments I play are different than the ones that
yeah.
Jim plays, so some of our actual gear to play those instruments is different.
Mm-hmm.
Though he's got some toys that I'm looking at now, thinking I got to have some of those too.
Mm-hmm.
toys.
Yeah. And that's because I'm the direction we've been going and that sort of thing with the keyboard stuff that I do, I've always tried to run it through effects boxes, but I mean, there's a point at which you want to, you know, you just want a lot more that you can do with it
yeah.
all.
And I guess when we get...
And he's like running it through like three delays at one time and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we get the basic recording that we've read the song is finished as far as the recording piece. Then we split duties. I tend to like the mixing process, even though sometimes you want to pull out your hair.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark doesn't really care for that. But he likes the graphic process. So when we start doing the package designs,
mm-hmm.
we split up duties. He does the graphic. He starts working on package design. Of course, I have input into it, but he's doing the physical layout.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing the mixing, and he has input to it, but I'm doing the physical work. So
yeah.
that's kind of how we split duties then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's talk about the graphic, because it still has your little scientist picture here.
She caught that.
Yeah.
That's right.
Is this going to be kind of like something you're going to, you know, do Where's Waldo?
Well, Well, we do try to be in there somewhere, but we want to be mysterious about
it.
You know,
and you can see you here too.
Yeah, we're in the center there where everyone's telling secrets, and we're in the middle of it all.
Yeah, I saw that right away. The
artwork was done by J. Carl Bogart. Mm-hmm. He's a local artist, and he's a surrealist, phenomenal artist. I mean, he's, you know, I think one of the foremost surrealists around, and just does some excellent work.
Mm-hmm.
The Milwaukee Art Museum has like three of his pieces.
Mm-hmm. And now, why a surrealist? Why, you know, why do you like that? Is that your
I think
background?
It just works with us. Yeah, uh-huh. I mean, we both tend to be rather, you know, conceptual and abstract and, mm-hmm. in what we do.
And you know, I never really thought about it, but in a lot of ways, our music's surreal.
Mm-hmm.
And I never considered myself a surrealist, but it just seemed to work. And Mark's been telling me about Mr. Bogart. And I got to meet him in November, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, at that time, we had not decided that, you know, what we were going to do for the artwork. And I think when we were talking, we said, man, why don't you come up with something and see what happens. And
right. We had him over because he plays Illan pipes.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, well, we got to sample that. So
yeah,
bring those over. Yeah. So we sampled it for a future, you know, for project. Future project. And
I was going to say, because I would have probably picked it up.
Yeah, they're not in this one.
Yeah.
And playing him the album, you know, he's a fan of ours and, mm-hmm. and we're a fan of his. So, you know, it was just sort of natural that he would do something. And we kind of said, you know, this is what we're thinking. You know, here's maybe the kind of the tone of it and what you could do. Most of his stuff is real, real dark.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we asked him, you know, could you do something a little bit lighter for this album, you know,
mm-hmm.
and mysterious and,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I mean, I think he really did some excellent work.
Yeah.
There's a lot of secret things going on in the picture.
And, yeah.
But you probably need a magnifying glass to figure it out.
Because you can see a little hand
there's
in there.
There's little people
stuff.
In there.
Yeah. But did he hear the music before he did this, or he just knows you?
Well, he was over, and we played the whole CD for him. In fact, that was the day we came up actually with the title, Secrets to Tell You.
Uh-huh.
And he was very excited about it. Next thing I know, Mark goes, hey, send us a cover.
Right. It was like within days.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
So we were really happy, yeah.
Now, what is the actual medium of this, the original? What does that look like?
He works digitally, too. This is a guy who did what we used to do, but he did it artistically, where he used to spend all his time cutting and pasting with photocopy machines.
Uh-huh.
So in a lot of ways, it's very similar because he was a – he was, you know, like we do a lot of like cutting and pasting with what we do in our music and did in the past with making loops and duplications of things. It's like a photocopy machine if you think about it in a way, you know, tape to tape and all of that.
Mimeograph.
Yeah. And so, I mean, he used to do that years ago. And then what he did is he moved over to computer, I guess, like most of us have. And so that's just it's digital.
So this is a digital image?
Right.
Wow.
Right.
Very cool. Because there is, you know, it looks like it should be, you know, some of it should be hand sketched and,
you know,
it's an amazing, you know, piece of work, really. It's neat.
Like charcoal or
mm-hmm. yeah,
yeah,
yeah, right.
Excellent. All right. Well, I like it. Now moving on to the third track. This is where things shake up a little bit.
Yes,
you
they
know,
move on.
This is, you know, this is where the snooze alarm goes off.
Well, okay. This one was the last song that we
We recorded in a timeline. This is the last one Mark gave me, and that we finished up. Really.
Really.
Yeah, and I don't remember. It had some other name, but we changed it to the atmosphere next door.
And I
because it made us laugh.
Right.
Basically.
And to me, that was my favorite title. I like that title the best. I just like the imagery, the idea, you know.
Yeah. Well, so Jason Todd is on there playing soprano sax.
Mm-hmm.
And then also Jean Marie Valou.
Yeah.
Who is my wife and I's massage therapist.
Okay.
So she was singing into my back about a year ago. And the vibration of her voice against my back was just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow, that's cool. And she happened to be doing it at, she was at our house. She had brought her chair to our house. So I said to her, listen, I got a recording studio upstairs. Do you mind coming upstairs? And we brought her upstairs and I recorded, you know, like 3-4 minutes of her singing.
Mm-hmm.
And then
did
I was
she
working.
Know that you, hmm? Did she know you were, she knew you were a musician, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But, you know, she really wasn't sure. You know, I mean, she's just singing into a microphone, you know, freestyle, you know, so a cappella. So I, but we, you know, I had the stuff and it's, there's two places that we used it.
Mm-hmm.
Two songs here that we used it. And this mm-hmm. is, and she's in this one here. Yeah. And I think it's pretty incredible. It adds a very human touch to
it
all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is the first time where, you know, where you are using somewhat vocal. Yeah, I mean, I know you use voices before.
Right, now this is
more, almost vocal.
Related more to the song,
Yes, it is the first time, and what I like about it, it's wordless. She may be singing words, but we have no idea what she's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
She's speaking in tongues.
Maybe. We don't know. we don't know what it means.
It's the atmosphere next door.
Also, there are, I guess, there were parts of this that were sampled from this. You were mentioning that mm-hmm. you had heard, you know, Space is the Case, which is on Inner Grooves. Some of that is in here and, mm-hmm. you know, bits like that.
Yeah.
And the guitar is from Dream's Groove, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I couldn't place that. I couldn't, but it sounded familiar.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. We saw Jason just before we put this thing together and we were talking to him, and we were saying, yeah, you know, we're going back and using our old samples. He goes, yeah, yeah, that's all I do is resample it. Go ahead, use that stuff. So
great.
We did.
Okay. This is Cyberchump on WMSC from Secrets to Tell You, and the track is called The Atmosphere Next Door. Of Cyberchump on WMSC. Excellent song.
Well,
excellent
you.
Song.
So what do you think the atmosphere next door is?
Well, it's a soothing atmosphere next door, I think.
Yeah, I was,
you know. Because it's just, except for in the beginning, it's gripping because the saxophone when it comes in, because I had to ask you if that was a saxophone. Mm-hmm. It's kind of wakes you up, kind of, you know, shocking. But then that sound is really, I love that sound. It's very, it kind of pulls something out of you.
Yeah, I'm, my thing is that, you know, is the atmosphere next door, is it better than here? You know?
That's kind of mysterious, like,
or worse.
Yeah.
I wonder what the atmosphere next door is.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's, you know, because it's very rhythmic. It's very, it's a just a nice level space. I like it.
Yeah. Cool.
Excellent.
I'm glad you like it.
I do.
We're really glad you like it.
I do. This is
we hope other people like it, too.
Now, when is this officially released?
Well, I mean, you can go to our website now. Mm-hmm. Cyberchump.com,
mm-hmm.
and it's available. We have it available to you right now.
Uh-huh.
It'll get on Amazon in a few weeks. Probably is the 17th, I think. I think that's a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the official release.
Do you have a big fan base? Do you have mailing list type?
Things have really grown for us. I mean, we've been on some compilations. We've got a couple others that are coming up that we're going to talk about as we talk about these songs. You know, there's... things have really grown. I mean, we're on emusic.com where mm-hmm. you can download us, and I think we've, you know, done quite a bit there. We're about, because of that growth, we're about to get on iTunes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we're not there just yet, but we're going to be there probably within a few months.
And that's awesome. That's big.
So those, and that are the kind of music we do, I think people really, you know, downloading is the way to go. You mm-hmm. know, I mean, a lot of people that, would download music would be into what we do. Mm-hmm. So
now yeah. I don't download music. I don't mm-hmm. know the first thing about it, but when you're on iTunes or eMusic, do they download the entire CD, or they can go track by track?
Yeah, it's track by track. So mm-hmm. some people will download the whole thing, and other people just, you know, listen mm-hmm. to samples, and then from there decide what they want to take.
Okay.
And that's really interesting, too, because you get a listing
feedback
of that, and you're able to see what your most popular songs are in terms of people downloading
yeah.
them. And,
do you think
that's always surprising, because it many times is not what you think.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Whenever you put out a CD, what kind of... At least I'll do this. I'll kind of look at what I think would be the most popular song on that CD or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times that isn't what people are tuning into.
Yeah.
So.
Well, now, I mean, this is going to be interesting down the line. Do you think that you will be influenced by what people download? And will you structure future albums that way, or are you going to stay and say, no, our next album's just going to be our next album?
Not if I have anything to do with it.
Okay. Okay.
Well, I mean, only from the standpoint, you know, I want people to like what we do, but I'm really, you know.
But you're not going to do what they like.
Right.
You need to have them accept what you do.
Right. Well, you know, there's a difference between an entertainer, I think, and an artist. And,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know. I've always viewed this as something, as a vocation, an artistic vocation.
Yeah.
Not as, well, like, you know. Do we have a big fan base? Well, we're not going to quit our day jobs anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean,
no, but we are now finally at a point where we can pay for our next project with the money we made from our last project.
Yeah.
So that's you know, that's big to
right.
be able to get to the point where you can at least, you know, put the money back into the project and
mm-hmm.
break even. Now that doesn't count for all the equipment and everything like that.
Right.
But you know, the basic duplications and getting it out there now, that's sort of very, you know, it's breaking even now.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, and that's, you know, the point of that, you know, you don't really, it's nice, I guess, but you know, it's nice that people, it's cool when people email you and really dug what you did and they're into your music and all of that. But I mean, the real bottom line comes down to Jim and I together
mm-hmm.
enjoying our time and making
yeah.
this music and then really digging it ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, whether, you know, if other people like it, and it's really hard for me to believe that, you know, it's hard to see how, you know, this would be something that would be wildly popular.
Mm-hmm.
But if that takes off and people like it, great. If they don't, we're having a great time. So
right.
that's all just extra.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So right now, you don't want to have the paparazzi after you.
Right. You know, I don't think Jim either. Neither of us have really wanted to be famous.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think it's really a matter of just doing good work as much as you can.
Mm-hmm. And but with this,
you know,
with music and you know stuff that we're doing right here, an interview live on the radio, that people, somebody over the internet could be listening to this in California
right.
and saying, hey, these guys, this music, it's great for my film. I gotta get them. And then suddenly you're famous. You know, I mean,
right. anything's,
you know,
possible.
Anything's,
you know.
Right. My view is that's not the goal. I know a lot of people, that's what they would love to have that
mm-hmm.
happen. And that's not really the point at all.
Mm-hmm.
But it is neat that when you have somebody who emails you or bought your disc or wrote a comment somewhere on some blog about your music
mm-hmm.
and they're talking about it, and you don't know who they are anymore. You know, that it's
yeah.
grown to the point that people are out there listening to music around the world and writing things and blogs about it. And,
right.
you know, you don't know who they are. So that's cool in that respect, in that it's gone beyond your ability to connect with these people individually. It's not
mm-hmm.
just your friends anymore, but other people, you know, are into
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
And don't you feel any pressure with that at all?
No.
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Good.
No,
I'm glad.
Really.
Yeah. No, you know, you just, yeah. I mean, you're talking about, like, trying to please them?
Yeah.
Or I hope they'll
yeah,
like
to
this?
Yeah, to say,
or,
you know, yeah,
no,
you know,
no.
This was such a successful CD,
no.
so.
No, and I think you can see.
They're all going to sound like this now.
If you look at our work, I think you can, you can see that every disc is completely different.
Yeah.
And by doing that, I mean, I think that's just because we're letting the music follow. I mean, we're following where it takes us.
Right.
It's not, you know, it's not calculated in any way.
Yeah.
Well, one thing I said about when I laid out this sequence, and I told Mark, I said, you know, this may fall totally flat, but this is what I think we need to do, because this is what I think it deserves to be laid out this way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad to hear that you liked the way it was sequenced.
Yeah.
But I could see where some people go like, oh man, this is boring, because starts off really slow, and you know,
it's backwards. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Most people, I think, would be. We talked about how most people would. The tradition is you start off fast,
mm-hmm.
and then you
get their attention.
And then you mellow out toward the end. Mm-hmm. And you know, we did it exactly the opposite. It's just sort of builds and builds and builds.
Yeah, and in a way, doing this interview and chopping up the flow a little bit, mm-hmm. It does take a little bit away. So to reassure the listeners, this is a really, you know, this is the CD that you want in the CD player on repeat. Because you know, it has a great flow. You go about your business and just you go with the different changes in the songs. It's, you know, you're doing your housework a little bit faster. And then, and then you calm down a little. That was the one thing I really wanted to make the point of, is that I love the flow of this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's cool. And you know, we really try to focus on that.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And we've done that many, many times. With the album. It's the fun thing to do, is you know, sit down with the lists mm-hmm. of all the songs, and I remember even on Dreams Groove, you know, our first one, we were on his back porch in Kansas City, and we sat on the picnic table there, and we were writing up a list. Well, look at this. What if we did it this way? What if we did it this way? No, I can't do it that way. Let's do it this way. And
now, do you do you know, you said you were sitting out on his back porch on the picnic table. So the music is just in your head at that point. You're just going by, you know, you're remembering how they sound.
Right. Right. And then when we come up with one thinks works, then we put it together, listen to it.
Yeah.
Dreams Grew is very difficult. It was the first time we really did it.
Yeah.
And
we would have done it different.
Yeah. Now we'd probably do it differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
that's how many years later.
Yeah.
Man.
You know.
We went through four or five different versions before we even came up with anything, because we were despairing whether we could even make it work.
Because
we just had the 10 songs, well, 12 songs. Was there 12 songs in that one?
No.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
But we just had those songs. At that time, we didn't have a lot of material.
Mm-hmm.
And so we liked those songs, and we thought it was good enough to put together, but we couldn't figure out how to do it. And I think we came up with a pretty good way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I wish we would have waited and written some more songs, because I think we probably would have made up a stronger CD. But
mm-hmm. But it's nice to see you progressing from that first CD.
Mm-hmm.
And one of your favorite songs is on that first
It is,
CD.
Absolutely. And, I really had to think about it. Does this new CD replace my favorite song?
Uh-huh.
I had to give it some thought. And it's a very... I think it does. I don't want to have to say it, because it's my first song of yours that I really fell in love with, and so I'm feeling kind of sorry for it right now.
Poor song.
Poor song. But, you know, but it's a happy replacement. I got, you know, how many, 12 tracks, 11 tracks to replace it?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
But, yeah, and... Actually, technically, what number CD is this? Is it 6 for you? Or
five.
Okay.
Yeah, it's 5, and, you know, we're starting work on our 6th, and then there's that other remix one that's maybe 7th. We'll see what we do with that.
Well, actually, I think we're starting working on our 6th and 7th, then we decide that...
Oh, yeah, that's right. we did Abstract Air, and we're looking at doing Abstract Earth. So that'll be the follow-up to Abstract Air, which will be
a little dirtier.
Yeah, that's, you got it. It's going to be, you know, that one will probably be, it'll, you know, if we do it this way, I mean, this is just conceptual right now, but, you know, the idea is we're going to do one CD that'll be beatless, basically, which mm-hmm. will be Abstract Earth, and then we're going to do another CD that'll be pretty much jamming. It won't be, you know, we're going to write the songs improvisational and then put them mm-hmm. together, you know, finalize them. That's the goal. Now, whether we can pull it off or not, I don't know.
Hmm.
We'll
find out.
That's just where we're at right now. So we'll see.
Yeah.
But what it does get to is that on each project, we do tend to work differently.
Right.
And to many times set up parameters. you know, in which we'll say, okay, on this disc, here's the parameters to how we're going to do our music, you know. And it just gives it an extra little edge. It makes it more challenging.
Yeah.
You know, right. I mean, because one of the things we do is we just approach our music differently each time, you know.
We have our own discrete strategies, I guess.
Yeah.
Do you ever, you know, for each CD, maybe buy one piece of new gear? Just work it into a new
I think we continually buy
new
stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
I've always been, I'm not a techie, but when it comes to music, it seems like buying new equipment puts you in a different space. And, you know, like a new guitar, a new sound module, a new computer system, or anything, you know, can... Because you start, you know, it's something new to learn. I like the learning process, I guess.
Right.
I mean, a lot of people hate it, you know, but I find it very intriguing.
And for I also think it depends on what you're, for me it does, it depends on what you're listening to. So,
yeah.
You know, back around Inner Grooves, you can really hear sort of a jazz lounge influence. I was listening to a lot of jazz at that time. And, you know... Gee, I don't know. People could probably guess. I've been listening to a lot of glitchy electronica for the last couple of years. So, you know, it affects then what ends up happening in terms of the sonic quality.
Right.
Yeah. Now, we did do something very different this time that we changed. It used to be that we spent a lot of our time where Jim did melody and I did a lot of the groove. And on this album... I did a lot of the melody, and he did a lot of the groove.
Yeah, it flip-flopped on us.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Was that intentional or just happened?
Yeah, accidentally.
Because I started a lot of the songs?
Yeah, I think it's where we started, because I had three or four that were started, the old stuff. And then Mark started, I'm not kidding, I can't get him to turn them on. Once I turn them on, I can't turn them off.
Uh-huh.
So I can't get a song started because he's got me something to finish all the time.
Sure.
So our roles reversed. That's been a good thing because I think the process changed on us, and we found out, hey, we can play to each other's strong and weak.
Right.
You know, it worked out pretty well, I think.
Right.
Plus, it's nice not to do the same thing all the time. It's kind of fun to say, well, I've got some idea for melody here, so instead of, you know, my department being, you know, that I'm going to be doing the rhythm and all of that stuff, and the bass rhythm, you know, keyboard wash, all that, instead I'm going to start working on the main part, you know, the main melody piece, and then not thinking about rhythm at all.
Yeah.
Know?
Did you guys like this? Did it make the making of the CD different, better, more comfortable, more?
It was different. I don't, you know, it was just a different experience. I think one thing that became clear is that the longer we work together, the less likely you're going to be able to tell what Mark or I do, because we're finishing, you know, we're completing each other's sentences, basically. And I can't even go back and tell you for sure who did what.
Sure.
You know, it's really the
two of us working
together.
And that's the goal. I mean, you know, in attempts to describe it to you here, you know, we might say things like, well, I contributed that one, I started that one, I originated it, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just really something to help you to explain it in a way.
Yeah.
But between us, that's really pretty irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a matter of throwing something in the box and then seeing who picks it out and what you do with it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because the pride is that, you know, after we've both touched it, you really don't even know anymore. And you can't really hear the person's work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of... And some of that is by working against what you normally do. I mean... Jim's band Short Term Memory, you know, he has a certain keyboard style, and you know, I can hear it right away, you know, when he's playing keyboard in a band. He didn't play keyboard mainly in this band, and so he played guitar, but he has a certain guitar style too, but it's also Jim's guitar style, but it works against what he would normally do. So a lot of you know what I mean? A lot of the melodies end up being different melodies because he's not doing the keyboards there, you know. So I think that it kind of changes it up, and it like Jim just said, it makes you you're using different equipment, different gear, different instruments. You know, you're not playing the same instrument on every song.
Yeah.
You know, we don't just have a basic setup that you always use. And by doing that, it makes you approach it completely different.
Sure. And obviously for you, keeps it fresh.
Right. I mean, when you listen to our music, you don't really hear, I don't think you really hear, you know, like, oh, okay, he's the bass player and he's the guitar player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, and he, you know, everybody gets their, like, their little moment to shine in the song.
Mm-hmm.
It's not ego-driven at all that way. It's really, what does this song need? Oh, it needs a bass. Well, who wants to do that? I got an idea for a bass. Okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, that didn't work. How about you? You want to try it?
Sure.
And if that didn't work, then we'll call somebody.
We're trying to do this bass. We're
just right. We just, you know, you got to have these people around. You know?
Now, if you can't play the part, how can you explain the part?
Well, you mean
you
working
know, like
with
if,
guest
like,
musicians?
Like, let's say, yeah, either one of you can't get
do
it, so you hire somebody?
Oh, oh.
Or do you just say, listen
oh, no.
to
when
the
you're,
piece? And
when you're working with a guest musician, I think what we've always done is bring on people that are like-minded or get
yeah.
what we do
yeah.
and that we respect, and we don't tell them what to play.
Yeah.
You know, they just sit, they plug in, and they play what they feel works with the song. And we might tweak it, but...
Well,
yeah,
yeah, the one thing they have to understand is that what they play may not be what comes out of it, because we take their ideas and then, especially even back in the when we were just recording 8-track digitally, well, Jason Todd's a good example. He riffed mm-hmm. over some songs and did a great job, but I thought the placement ought to be just the opposite of where he put it, because he didn't know the song structures. So I went back in and rearranged it, and it worked, you know, basically. But I mean,
that's
his playing was just so phenomenal. He was just blowing his head off. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do want to say that's one of the things I think Jim really, you know, rose to the occasion on this album in terms of song structure and mm-hmm. development. I mean, you know, we many times we'll put something together, and I do this a lot. I almost rely on him for that. I'll put something together, and it'll have a certain structure to it. And then, especially with some of the ambient ones like Lighten, you know, mm-hmm. he'll take it and sculpt it in a way that it comes completely back differently. And you know, it doesn't sound like the same song anymore because it's been sculpted and changed, and the key's been changed, mm-hmm. and it's been changed numerous times within the song. And, you know, the structure is different. And,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's just, you know, a talent that he has.
Yeah. Have you ever, you know, heard a song back and gone, Jim, it's great. I just don't like it.
I wouldn't say the first part. I usually, yeah. many times I say I don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then he tells me, sit back and think about it for a week. And many times it's in my mind, but many times we go back at it, and then
yeah.
I'll say no, you know, well, then he'll say, what do you think? You know, and then mm-hmm. I'll try something.
Well, right now, we got 6 or 7 songs that Mark keeps on pushing to the forefront that right now they aren't doing. We were listening to one yesterday, you know, it was yesterday. And at some point in time, we may go, well, let's deconstruct it and start all over again, but use some of the basic elements. That's generally what happens.
Right.
If we aren't
uh-huh.
that satisfied with it, we'll make sure.
Yeah.
We have to both be satisfied before we're going to do anything with it.
Right.
That's really
right.
The goal.
It's such a fascinating way, the way you work. It's just, you'd think, you know, on the surface, you would think, that can't work. It's just, you know, how can you be so far apart, passing things back and forth, and you only meet a couple times a year, you know, to get together on things. It just... To me, it on the surface seems like, oh, that would never. You couldn't get a CD like this out of it, but it does. You guys
that's
have
what makes a cyber chop.
Exactly, and that's the secret you're telling us, isn't it? It's one of the secrets.
Yeah. Well, I think it's respect, you know, mm-hmm. and like-mindedness on terms of what we're looking for. You know, there's a lot of music that we both like,
mm-hmm.
and so we. There's certain reference points, you know, that we both have.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Brian Eno, I would say, would be one of those, you know. And you know, so we both kind of have that as a touchstone. And you can't really do wrong, you know, because you mm-hmm. end up saying, you know, but then we have different influences that kind of come out of nowhere. And there's probably part of it is, too, is just chemistry, finding somebody.
Yes.
But one of the things I think that we do really well is just do it, you
mm-hmm.
know, and not really... I mean, afterwards, sometimes we talk about it, but, you know, really, it isn't about a lot of setup and discussion. It's really just, like, plugging in and playing and seeing what works,
mm-hmm.
right? And having a similar set of ears in terms of what we think works.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So there's not a lot of arguing in that respect.
Yeah. So you guys are like two sons of different mothers, right?
You think?
I don't know what that means.
We'll discuss that during the next song.
All right. That's a good place to break. And the track happens to be Healing Time.
Very good.
Which is I thought that was a very appropriate title. I liked it. Very New Age-ish, mm-hmm. sort of.
And we'll tell you the reason after we listen to
it. Okay. Okay, in case you're wondering, this is 91.7 WMSE Milwaukee, the voice of the Milwaukee School of Engineering. And this is Mary Bartline. You're listening to Instrumental Saturdays. We're speaking with Cyber Chump from Milwaukee and Kansas City. We've got him here in one town. They're here in the studio live. We're talking about Secrets to Tell You, their new CD. And the track we're going to listen to right now is called Healing Time on WMSE. Cyber Chump on WMSC from the brand new CD called Secrets to Tell You, and the track was called Healing Time, and fast approaching my favorite song to be my to really subvert the other one, but or surpass the other one. There's just everything about that song I like. I like the, you know, the
twinkling.
Just twinkling. Exactly. That's probably very good. That's very good. Twinklingness of it.
Yeah.
So tell me how that one was built. And we talked about, well, on the break, you and we had talked about the title, Healing Time. You said you would talk about that on the air. You had injured yourself.
Yeah, actually working on this song.
Working on this song.
I was sitting too long, and I got up, and my leg was asleep, and I just collapsed. You know, I walked about four steps and realized I couldn't feel my leg. It's just, I thought about it, I went down. And
sorry.
You were sitting way too long.
I was doing the healing process, you know. But actually, this thing started up here. Mark had come up with this rhythm bed. And actually, we were talking about doing an ambient song, and I'm going like, you know, that'll never work with the drums going forward. So why don't you just reverse that? So actually, what you got on there is the rhythm is forward and backwards drumming together.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Basically, that's the swishing sound, mm-hmm. basically the kind of the tinkling sound, and that's kind of how it started. And then Mark was giving me a hard time because I hadn't been playing anything, and he says, "Where are you going to play an instrument on this CD?"
So I played
the guitar part. I drug out the guitar, got out the Ebo, and did the guitar part. So.
Well, yeah, but you didn't see the way that conversation goes is like, well, aren't you going to play any instruments? I mean, you should really play an instrument on the CD. And then he'll be like, no, I'm not going to play any instruments. That'll be it. I'm hanging it up. I will not play instruments. That'll be really hilarious that I don't play instruments. Right. And then he comes back with this, which is a brilliant guitar part.
Yes. Now, how many tracks had you completed up until this time?
That's a good question.
Because if you hadn't gotten the seed, your guitar out at all.
Well, as far as finished, I don't know. Well, actually, that's really kind of. I hadn't been playing much, but I had put the guitar part among the islands.
Oh, I see. You do it all secretive. That's the thing. We are victims of our own little PR thing with each other. You know what
right.
I mean? Like,
now
you
the
know,
truth comes out.
Right. I mean, yeah. I'm not telling him the truth. He's not telling me the truth, right? Oh, it's all loops, but we're really in there tweaking and playing.
Right.
And,
It all comes here.
That's the secrets, That's what that's all about.
Yeah.
Another thing, you were saying the song is very nurturing, which is mm-hmm. an interesting idea. And Mark, I'd talk a little bit about Teresa's film that this is the soundtrack to.
Yeah, my wife Teresa Alamode, she directed a film called Maybe a Baby,
mm-hmm.
and basically what it was, and we're just starting to get it out there. And of course, anybody who is interested, go to maybeababy.com and see a clip of it there. Basically, what we did is through the '90s, we were starting to question, did we want to have a child or not?
Mm-hmm.
And so we interviewed people who had children and people who didn't to see how they felt. To see where we stood on the topic. And anyway, so we have finished that documentary, and we're just looking at film festivals right now and
uh-huh.
just starting to get it out there. And this is the Healing Time is the theme song for it.
Wow. Yeah. This is Cyber Chump on WMSE. That's music of Cyberchump on WMSC from their brand new album called Secrets to Tell You. And Among the Islands is the name of that track. And I mentioned how much I like the guitar work in there, but I neglected to say that the drum work is also very good. It makes the Among the Islands feel.
Right. Yeah. Well, in fact...
like the tribes are uniting or something.
I don't know. I don't know if anybody's been to any of the islands. I've been to Jamaica and I've been to Hawaii, and there's this vibe you get.
Manhattan.
Yeah, Manhattan. There's an island for you. But, people like to, they go to an island expecting it to be just a really nice place. But I'll tell you what, the weather at the island, any mm-hmm, island you're mm-hmm. on, or anytime you're dealing with tropics, it's interesting because that song kind of evokes that to me, the weather mm-hmm. patterns you can get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. So,
Well, can I talk about the next track a little bit?
Yes, please.
Boogie Caravan. Well, it's basically how we developed this was there's a group called Orchestra, mm-hmm. Orchestra, that's with or are some people behind Magnanimous Records,
mm-hmm.
and they basically had approached us at one point because I think one of the guys who's in Magnanimous Records who has that company is also a DJ. Somewhere out east and was playing our music. And so I thanked them, you know, I'd heard about it, so I thanked them for playing our music. And then we started writing back and forth, and they said, you know, we have this project coming up where we're asking people to remix some pieces from this live jam we did.
Mm-hmm.
So they were all up on the website, this it's like secret, you know, website,
yeah.
where only the people who were
yeah.
invited knew it. And we went and grabbed that stuff and started working on it. And developed it and then submitted it to them. And it's going to be there's a different version of it. The one here we call Stratosphere Mix. The one that we did for them is just a little bit different.
Uh-huh.
And that is coming out on Magnanimous Records. It should be out within a month.
Uh-huh.
And it's called M2 Reconstructions. And if people go to our website, they can see it. And
yeah.
there are a number of other artists, including ourselves, that are mm-hmm. in there. And then one of the songs is, you know, our contribution. It's this one called Boogie Caravan.
Yeah, it was interesting because what they did was this orchestra was a group of people that got together and evidently they had a sample fest. And I don't know whether they really performed this stuff and then chopped it up or what, but these were just short loops.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything, it was just a bunch of sounds, basically. And they said, go and make something out of it. So actually, the whole thing is we based it on some of their sounds and then added some of our own stuff to it. But it really wasn't a remix. I don't know what you call it. I mean, it was like building something out of just stuff that they gave you. Here's some sounds. What can you do with this?
Yeah, you're just kind of like a construction kit.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty interesting, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. It was kind of a different challenge, something to do a little bit differently, you know?
Now, did you have to basically change the song in order to get it on your CD? Did you have to get permission kind of thing?
No, they said, it's yours.
We own it.
We gave you the stuff that we wanted to see what you could do with it.
Uh-huh,
it was
uh-huh.
really interesting thought process on their part. It was just like, well, we just gave you some sounds. You made the song.
Uh-huh.
Well, which is true. That's exactly what happened.
So like-minded people, you know.
Yeah.
They're about the music. They're not trying to sell a million records,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Was it kind of like an interview process?
No,
it was just they liked what we do and invited us, you know, and said, hey, would you be interested in this? And we did it,
uh-huh.
you know. So, and that kind of thing is fun, you know, to kind of, because we're all about collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
So collaborating with other people you've never met, people you've never spoken with, that's really exciting. And, you know, nowadays that's really totally available, you know, to be able to do, to collaborate with people across the world.
Yeah.
You know, brings us all together. So
mm-hmm.
it's a neat thing. Now, one of the things about this song is that it's, if you look on the back of the album cover, you can see that it's in the middle between the two columns.
Okay.
And it all of a sudden the formatting changes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because we call it the key to the album. And it's where the whole album turns.
Mm-hmm.
It's really side A and side B, and this song is the middle side.
Well,
okay.
Well, what it is half the song is side A and half the song is side B. And
yeah.
You'll hear what we mean.
You'll see it's the key to the order of the songs. It's everything before this is a little bit more mellow,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and then halfway through the song it just changes abruptly.
Yeah.
And then from here on in it's kind of butt shaking.
Okay. Actually, this is where you do your housework a little fast.
Yeah,
that's right.
Okay. Do you want to tell me why it's called Boogie Caravan again?
We're not sure we know why. Teresa, didn't you do that?
Yeah, there's sort of a boogie, I guess, going on. It had a 70s porno feel, I thought. And then at the end, I feel that there's a sort of Middle Eastern desert elephant walk thing going on. So it's Boogie Caravan.
I just think of da 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 da.
Well, that's kind of where it came from. But that's not what it sounds like. I agree.
Okay. This is Cyber Chump on WMSE.
Thank you.
That's music of Cyberchomp on WMSC. And yes, that does sort of, it takes you into a whole different realm, Boogie Caravan.
Yeah, it's... there's a boogie in there.
Yeah.
it's at the end of the caravan.
That's right.
Exactly.
So, hey, everybody's got a boogie.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I like the beginning of it. I like how it's kind of Star Wars-y a little.
Ah.
A little bit, I think.
Interesting.
Yeah, see, I always had this thing about space, and I couldn't get anybody to agree with me on the title. And when I said we, you know, in case you haven't figured this out, our wives are an integral part of helping us name things a lot of times.
We throw it out to them and say, you know, what do you think we should call this?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Do they, yeah, how big of a role do your wives play in all of this?
They're our biggest fans, luckily. We're fortunate to have, our women love our music.
Uh-huh.
We love
it.
Many times they're involved in singing vocals.
Yeah, they mm-hmm. work on the project sometimes.
And sometimes naming things or conceptualizing it. You know,
uh-huh.
Abstract Air Teresa came up with that name, and she wrote a song on the first CD, right? Love
yeah.
Offering.
Uh-huh.
She wrote that, so, yeah.
Big role.
Get involved.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now, Mark, how much has having had a child changed the way you approach music?
Well, I like I said earlier, I think that at the time that I wrote the songs for this album, I was just in a sort of a maybe a less brooding mood,
uh-huh.
and so I think the there's a tone change in that some of the stuff is a little bit happier,
uh-huh.
and
I brought it back down though.
Uh-huh.
I mean, because we do have a tendency to have that sort of like dark scientist. Feel to what we do, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And this album's got a little bit, you know, a more pleasant mood to it in
mm-hmm.
that respect. You know, it's more, maybe more positive,
you know, this
or hopeful.
Right. You know, in talking about the distance, I think this may be really a place where a lot of bands break up over the fact that, you know, family situations change. And I think in this case, it didn't matter because we don't work on a day-to-day basis. We don't work on a minute-to-minute basis.
Mm-hmm.
It gave Mark the room he needed to raise his son,
mm-hmm.
be with his wife,
yeah.
and still work on the music. So it actually worked out very well. And it did, you know, I have to say it did change, not for the worse by any stretch of measure, but he became a different guy for a while
mm-hmm.
there. And I was going
mm-hmm.
like, this is interesting.
Who is this guy?
Hmm. Yeah, and I think
what have
I was,
you done with Mark?
I think I was having a reaction to that. You know, my best friend, he's leaving me. You know?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and it was an interesting time, but I think it actually improved the music
mm-hmm.
in the long run.
That's good.
Well, yeah.
I'm glad it came. It had a purpose.
Yeah. Well, you know, hey, listen, boys, we have to cut the chit-chat because we're down to 8:22.
Let's move along.
I didn't realize that.
So let's hear Tango Noir.
Yeah, Tango Noir. All right, let's just listen to it.
This has got Jason Lovell on it.
Okay. Yes, also very, what did I say about it? Anything? Violin is excellent.
Very good.
He plays
okay.
the violin?
Okay. This is Cyberchomp on WMSE. That's music of Cyberchump on WMSC and a track called Tango Noir. I like that rim shot towards the end.
I was just
he just said that to me.
Really?
Yeah, that's my
favorite part.
That's my favorite part of the song.
Yeah, it's very, because it's very nice, very clear, very, you know, very there. And I got it. I'm just queuing up here. So we have a lot more. We've got actually four more tracks to hear in a half hour. Can we do it?
Yeah.
Yes, we can.
Well,
without talking much.
The next one is the title track, Secrets to Tell You.
Mm-hmm. Little spooky.
Yeah. And that's kind of the idea. We thought it would sound like a secret.
Uh-huh.
Well, Teresa and I are doing sort of these monk chanting things in the background.
I like that.
Yeah.
You know, and I picked up on that right away, and it's very subtle.
Yeah.
Really, but I like it.
About halfway through.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And it's not in the face of it. It's just, you know, but you can tell it's monk chanting.
Yeah.
So I was going to ask you about that.
And then Jean Marie Vallou, again, did the main vocals that are on this.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I can't even remember. We had some other title at one point, but it really became Secrets to Tell You, you know, kind of fit when we got that title. We thought this is really the title track.
Did you, I guess the CD wasn't named at the time, right?
No.
So this you decided title track.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just seemed, it seemed mysterious.
I'm glad that you didn't name the CD Boogie Care.
So are we, for that matter.
That was never an option.
Yeah, but the one thing I find interesting about this song is I think it's Kraftwerk meets Philip Glass or something. It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just very mystical.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, I have my own opinion about it, which I will keep to myself on this one because it's kind of a strong opinion. So, neither one of those was it. So, Secrets to Tell You on WMSC. Ending.
That song was Achoo.
Achoo. And I was going through it a couple times thinking, is it Achoo? Is it Achoo? Is it Achoo? Is it
Achoo?
It's Achoo.
And then Achoo.
It's basically the origination of that song is that's a song that was put together or done by a guy named who goes under the name Thin Films,
mm-hmm.
who's an artist out of the UK. So he asked us, would you guys be interested in remixing this and so and kind of reworking it?
Yeah.
And he sent out his CD to us with the samples and all of that. And so we started working on it.
Yeah, it was interesting. He said pick any song you want. And basically, we picked one that nobody else had picked. Everybody else was going after two or three other songs, because he's had a bunch of people remix this. But then when he sent us the samples, he didn't send us the song, you know, the whole, he's just sent little sound snippets. You really couldn't make it, rebuild his song from this.
We didn't know what the song sounded like.
My CD and his CD that we had gotten, that particular song, we couldn't play it. So we didn't even know what it sounded like. So Mark goes, well, take a stab at it. You know, so I put it together and I thought, I came up with this, that real rhythmic, that snorting sound, that it's kind of the itching before you sneeze sound. And I came up with this rhythmic idea, so I sculpted in everything, the melody, but I had no percussion on it at all. I sent it to Mark, and he came up with this hip hop thing, and it was great. It just worked. Right,
yeah, I did all the percussion, and so it just kind of worked.
So we probably ought to play the last two songs.
Yeah, this next song is Spanish funk, it's sort of our Miles Davis tribute.
Yeah, it's
thing.
A tribute to Miles, basically, just because there's a trumpet sample in here. It sounds like Miles, and this is kind of sounds Spanish, so, you know, Sketches of Spain, but it doesn't sound anything like Sketches of Spain.
Okay. This is Cyberchump on WMSE. Music of Cyberchump on WMSC from their brand new album. The album is called Secrets to Tell You. And if you just tuned in, you missed an interview with them. They are in the studio. It's always nice, Jim, when you can, you know, come to town. I know you don't come to town all that often, but a lot of times it means I get to get an interview. So
very enjoyable. This is a great show, and we have a lot of fun talking. Maybe we talk too much. I don't know.
No,
we love what you do, Mary.
Thank you.
Just really have a great show, and I listen to it regularly. So I'm a big fan.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I'm obviously a big fan of yours as well. So it
and
works.
I appreciate
you know?
That.
I might want to plug one thing on that last song. That was Jason
Lobo
on the violin, just an excellent violinist with the Danglers.
Yeah.
And we really appreciate working with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's on a number of songs on this disc, and I think we click together,
and
you know.
He gets what we're doing.
Yeah. When do you decide to bring in a player like this? You know, do you have the song, the bed pretty much laid, and then you go, let's bring Jason in?
Pretty much, but it's, you know. It's... Last time, actually, when he came, he worked on three songs at one shot. Basically, we just said, what three songs can he work on? Or, you know,
right.
And he came up and
right.
Just,
we might think, you know, this really needs something or, you know, just that sort of thing. Or, you know, this particularly a violin would really help. And
and
a lot of our stuff, you know, there's sort of that is an opportunity to have the violin and the guitar interplay. And so I think that, you know, we look for that too. You know, how can we do that? And that really adds sort of it's a way of bringing a live feel to it.
Right.
You know, I mean,
right.
That song in particular, I think you can, you know, there's sort of a live jam going on there. And it really brings it beyond just trying to be, you know, electronic.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So, and also I want to mention there's a number of breaths that you hear and sort of talking and kind of that sort of stuff. And what that is my wife and I, Teresa and I, had an art installation that we did about a year or two ago for a gallery night. And we had this audio that we had done with our breaths, sort of pensive breaths. And so I started using those loops in this song. And then the next song, Yearning, which we'll talk about in a bit, they're in there also. In fact, we built the bed of the rhythm from that.
We are running a little bit out of time. We got one more track, The Yearning, to go. It's 4 minutes, so we do have like 2 minutes to talk. So,
okay.
All right.
We've, you know, covered the website.
Well, one other website you might want to know about is www.joyfarm.com, which is Mark's website,
mm-hmm.
which has, you know, some of the film projects he's worked on. It's got a link to Short-Term Memory, although that website's kind of dormant right now, and you can't buy anything. We were just talking about I got to get some of the old material up there. But
Yeah,
Jim's old band, Short-Term Memory, is sort of a band that's really interesting. And in the 80s, they were doing sort of like the Midwest. They were called like the Midwestern Kraftwerk.
Mm-hmm.
So they did that. But they also had a real Shriekback sort of sound.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very interesting. And we were noticing in your stacks here that you had that Effective Excess, the album that came out, what, 84?
85.
Had a couple copies of that here in your album stacks.
Wow.
So, yeah, very cool.
See, that was before I was doing, technically, instrumental New Age stuff. But I'm surprised that but then again, I may have played it, and I don't remember.
Well,
it's quite possible.
We didn't have the credits on the album. There was a sheet that we stuffed in it, and I doubt if it stuck with it, so nobody mm-hmm. knows who's in the band or anything.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have that on?
It was interesting, though, because I pulled the album off the shelf and opened it, and it smelled like 1985.
So let's listen to this track, and we'll wrap it up after that.
Okay.
This is Yearning on WMSE. Cyber Chump on WMSE, the last song on the CD, Secrets to Tell You. It's called Yearning. And again, thank you guys very much for coming down.
Happy to be here.
Talk
Thanks
about the
for
CD.
Having us out.
It's going to be available on your website starting on the 17th, you said?
It's now. You can go to our website now, get a copy right away, and we will send it right to you.
Excellent.